Give and Take series this morning with Who Are You Listening To? But before we get into it, I want to ask you, have you ever experienced or witnessed a tornado? Anybody here? Really? Okay. All right. Anyone ever see the movie Twister? Yeah. Kind of portrayed? Okay. Well, you know, tornadoes are not common in this area, although I think within probably the last 5 years we've had warnings and things like that. But in this clip I want to share with you is, you know, for those who maybe you are not familiar with the movie Twister, it's about these tornado chasers. They do it for a living. And the whole premise of the movie is that they're doing this to learn more about it and to be able to get a fix on it so that there's a greater warning system or greater understanding so that before they come, people can get out of harm's way. Now, obviously, that's not always possible, right? But in this case, they're going to, we're going to see a scene where they're in the process of chasing it down. It's short, it's brief. They really don't get too far, but it kind of makes a point. Frank?
Bill, we're in the core.
Okay, we got sisters.
Hi, God. Yes? Julia, I can't talk to you right now.
We'll run into the flanking line.
I realize that.
You can't attack this thing from the south. We're gonna get rolled.
Watch.
Julia, I know you're upset. You just gotta breathe. We both just gotta breathe.
Cow.
I gotta go, Julia. We got cows.
I think that was the same one. Damn it, we got drunkards here. We got no path.
This is not good. Get us out of here.
I'm trying.
Corey!
This is a perfect reason why I'm not allowed to hang out in the sound booth, and I'm limited. So as you see, the way tornadoes can just drop in at any moment and make life incredibly dangerous and problemsome. You could see the noise that they portray. There are other scenes in that movie, if you've seen the movie, where the winds pick up so much that they produce this really loud noise. Now, you said, none of you have, except one, said that they have ever experienced a tornado. But I want to tell you that each of you, on a year-to-year, sometimes month-to-month basis, have had run-ins with tornadoes in your lives. And what do I mean by that? Because quite often, you and I go through experiences in our lives, like we're going through right now as a nation, and the world in entirety, is that issues come into our world and our life that cause these tornadoes to take place, where we get spun around in our daily living, sucked up, and even potentially sometimes spit out, thrown to the side, and they come out of nowhere. None of us would have said 3 months, 4 months ago, that they would have known that we would have had the coronavirus visiting us. But here it is, and we're in it. And we are getting spun around, so to speak, and having to deal with things that we weren't planning on dealing, and affecting our lives in ways that we didn't plan on being affected, you know? But I want to say to you that within every tornado, there is a center. There is a calm. And in that center, it's called a Coriolis force. At the center is a Coriolis force. And in that force, in that center, there is a deflection going on of forces and winds that are stirring around, producing a calm and a controlled environment. If you could be at that center, you wouldn't know anything else around you was going on other than the fact that you could see it, but you would be in this calm and in this peace. Now, each of us have our tornadoes, so to speak, to deal with. And I want to tell you, today it's the coronavirus. And then tomorrow, it's going to be something else. Ripping and tearing into our lives and disrupting our lives and breaking the peace and making life a mess. And I want to tell you, and you already know it, it's at every stage of your life. Doesn't matter how young or old you are. When my children were young, there were tornadoes. I almost lost my daughter at the age of 11. When you get older and you're raising a family, there are tornadoes that you have to deal with. Issues at work, issues with family, issues with neighbors, issues. And every one of us deal with them. And as we get older, there are tornadoes in our lives. Just the aging process alone with the small aches and pains that you and I can end up dealing with. I mean, I could log back and remember that when I turned 30, I started feeling things, you know? And when I got in my 40s, I started feeling a little bit more. And in my 50s, a little bit more. And now that I'm in my 60s, it has its share of challenges, right? We deal with these things physically. The tornadoes come into our lives through illness, through unwanted diagnosis. And we find ourselves in the middle of a tornado, being spun around emotionally, psychologically, our lives disrupted. And then there's loss. Every time you and I lose someone in our lives, even just merely moving away to another state, someone who's been close to us can present itself in such a way to start spinning us around. We get an uneasy feeling, a feeling of insecurity. Never mind if we've become sick in any way. Because then not only are we carrying something around in our bodies, but it certainly works on our minds and our emotions. Very disruptive. Now, and that's not even taking into account occasions and run-ins we have with people who may be close to us. How many of us have had things said to us early on in our lives that still have lingered and carried out through our entire lives, no matter how old we are? Put-downs. Unkind words. Still lingering. They have a way of revisiting us. Painful voices and emotions. But in all of it, I would like to bring our attention this morning to that Coriolis force that exists. Because I think that's where we need to go. And I think just by coming out today and being together like this is entering into that place. Now, I don't know about you, but this has been a heck of a week, you know? We're trying to get things done that we normally get done so we can have a service, and then dealing with all the reports on the news and on the internet. I get emails from unsuspected places talking about the coronavirus, like Allstate Insurance. And the motivation for them is to merely tell me that they have an app that I can go on to and I could use in this time of crisis, you know? And if it's not them, it's somebody else. And it just got so noisy and so loud in that vortex, being pulled into it, in the concerns and the worries. And not to say that we need to be monitoring this and caring for one another properly, but it just gets crazy, the amount of information that is put out. And I want to say to you, who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? It can get challenging. But I want to get back to the center of it all, because I believe that God is calling us to that center, and he has something that he wants to show us and teach us through this, because he is not absent when this happens, or something else happens, or the market crashes, or a product goes bad, or medication is foul, or whatever can be presented to us. He is always present. And Jesus taught us about getting to the center, because he himself had the tornadoes in his life. Think about every time he went to go and do something good. And by the way, I want to tell you, every time you and I go to attempt to do something good, like help a neighbor and love someone and be who God has made us, don't be surprised if a tornado starts to spin around you, to pull you down, to distract you, to derail you. Jesus was dealing with that all the time. At his birth, his parents had to deal with it. As he was tried, certain forces tried to murder him and take him out of the game earlier. When he went out into the wilderness and he dealt with issues there, the same thing. And we're going to touch on that today. But he always came back. He had a center. He had a place of calm in the eye of his life. While storms spun around him, he was centered. And he listened to what the Father had to say to him. And I want to tell you, I want to ask you, are you listening? And if you are, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Well, Jesus always listened to the Father. In John 4:34, we read, he says to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." He was listening. He spent time with the Father. When others were going to and turning to other sources, Jesus was always in tune with the Father, always going back to the Father for instruction and for guidance. And he knew what his will was. He knew what the Father's will was, what his work here was to be. And I want to say to you that you and I were his work, and still are his work. In this time of crisis, in this time of trial, in these times of challenge, Christ is still at work doing the will of his Father through the Holy Spirit in our lives. We were at the center of his heart the whole time that he had to deal with Pharisees and Sadducees and other religious leaders who were opposing him, who were challenging him, who were mocking him, who were actually saying and telling him that he had a spirit of the devil on him. Always dealing with something. Because you see, the whole time, he knew how valuable we are. He knows how valuable we are to him. I want to say to you that I don't know what you're dealing with in your life, what tornadoes are swirling around you, or ones that you maybe are seeing on the horizon that you're anticipating. But I say to you that you are more valuable. He appraises your life higher than you and I can. That's how valuable. It's like we were taken to a type of pawn shop. And we would go in, we would think about how much we were worth. We might not value or appraise ourselves, but we are pleasantly surprised when we go before God to find out that we are highly valuable to him, that he values us to such an extent, and we were unaware of it. It's like watching the Antique Roadshow. I don't know if you've ever watched that. I love it. People come in and they think they have this unbelievable treasure, only to find out it's worth $2 or $3. Yeah. And then there are people who bring something in, they don't think anything, it's worth anything. And they come to find out that it might be worth $5,000, $10,000, $30,000. It's mind-boggling. What I want to say to you, that I think many of us at times, we kind of stand before God and we appraise our lives, or we listen to other people's assessment of our lives and allow them to appraise us to ourselves. And I want to tell you, most times those appraisals come in much lower than they should. That when we stand before God and we examine how he feels about us and what he says about us in his word, we are appraised at a much higher cost. A higher price tag is placed on our lives. And this point and that value is echoed through the Bible. Like when Paul says in Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, are you listening? While we were still sinners, before we had a clue, before we woke up, before we became aware of God, he sent Christ to die for us. When we were in that state, someone would assess and appraise our lives is not very valuable at all. But Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, didn't think so. Matter of fact, you couldn't convince your Creator that you were not worth the price that he paid for your soul and for you to know him. You couldn't convince Jesus not to come, not to visit, not to give his life. You couldn't convince the Holy Spirit, who couldn't wait and who still cannot wait to be a part of your life on a daily basis. It's not going to happen. You can't convince the Godhead that you are worthless, that you're not worth dying for, not worth giving everything. It's not going to happen because he appraises you and I at a much higher rate. Peter also echoes this thought. For you know that God paid a ransom. You listening? He paid to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Paul states it. God claims it. Paul states it. Peter seconds it. And all in favor? See, Joe, I'm going to get that annual church meeting thing down. I'm still working on it in small ways. You see, when you and I were poor and thought ourselves to be worthless, and maybe we're even told that by others, God didn't look at us that way and still doesn't. When we thought we had an inheritance, you know, like what we will gain, you know, somewhere down the road, you know, when we thought we had an inheritance, God had something more. God has something always better. Whatever we were planning our hopes on in this life, when they are blown away, when we lose sight of them, when they seem to evaporate and don't turn out to be anything, when they run through our fingers like sand, God says to us, I have an inheritance for you. You see, I paid for you. I paid for you. When you weren't even in the game, I came out and I paid for you. Are you listening? When you read the scriptures, are you listening? When God puts a finger to point the way, like when we're worshiping here and singing, are you listening? Are you listening to the messages in the songs? Are you taking them to heart? Or are you listening to someone else? Is your attention and your heart distracted by all the noise that's spinning and constantly spinning and spinning around in your heads and in your hearts? Because today it's coronavirus, right? And tomorrow it might be a financial crisis. Or you might have a health problem. I have family members that have been recently diagnosed with breast cancer. One minute your life is stable, sustainable, There's a cohesiveness to it. There's a flow. And then all of a sudden, you're swooped up, sucked up in that vortex, and spun around. It can be so dizzying and troubling. And if it's not that, it'll be something else. Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems. But listen, I'm here for you. I've overcome the world. I am that Coriolis force at the center of it all. And if you come to me, you will find out exactly what I am going to do in your life and in the time that you have here. Because he says to us, I have a plan. I have a purpose for you. That's why I came. That's why I went. That's why I sent my spirit to now take you the rest of the way. And I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you familyless. I am giving you my presence in this time. And I will see you through whatever it is that you're going through, regardless of how big the tornado is. Right? They have different classifications for tornadoes. And one of them is the finger of God, because it's like the most powerful. And in every one of those classifications, there is a quiet center. There is an I. And in our personal tornadoes, God is dwelling in that place. And we do well to go there, to find our way there. And the way to do that is to listen. It's to listen in. See, because this journey that we're on for Lent is all about connecting with him, which is something we should be doing every day, but it's a time of the religious calendar where it brings our attention to what you and I should be doing all the time, praying and seeking him, spending time to meditate on him, quieting our hearts, getting off the merry-go-round, and taking a break from all that makes this life what it is, and finding that place where he dwells and dwell with him there. Allowing him to quiet the noise, not just on the TV and the internet and on the radio, but the noise that goes on in our hearts and minds. Do you ever find yourself in that place where you just can't shut it off? Go to bed at night and the brain is constantly working and working and working. Found out from my sister-in-law, the psychologist, that that part of the brain in the front is called the hippocampus. And that's the thing that you need to shut down at night. Kathy was reading an article about a week or two ago. Like, if you're planning on hitting the bed, the pillow at 11, start at 10. Give yourself an hour to shut down, to disconnect. Get off the smartphone. Get off the laptop. Get off it all and quiet your heart. And I think that's what we need to be doing now, more than ever. More than ever. Is to quiet our hearts to be able to hear him. Like I said, if it's not this tornado, it's going to be the next tornado. And the one after that. And the one after that. But God is at the center of everything that goes on in our lives. Doesn't matter what it is. So, are you listening? And if you are, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? I want to encourage you to take this time out, to get focused, to look for the one who has been and always will be at the center of our lives. The center of every twister that can befall our lives. To go back to the source, to the Creator. That's the answer. That's always going to be the answer. And he's always going to be the one to be listening to. Let's pray together. Father. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this moment of quiet. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, oh God, who finds themselves rattled and struggling, troubled in heart, perplexed in mind, dizzy, spun out. Father, I ask, oh God, that in this moment, you would visit us, that you would visit that individual, that you would speak life and love and kindness. Lord, that you would remind him or her that they are valued, that they're precious in your sight, that there's no one like them on the face of this earth, that when you made them, you made them good. Lord, I pray, oh God, may your peace rest upon them, and may they find that center, that quiet place where they can connect with you, where they might find rest, where they might experience your presence, being fully aware that you are there and that you're with them. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for listening.
And sing to the Lord. Into the river I will wade. weakness and fear, that those are worldly feelings. And we just praise you that we have a creator and a father who that does not stop, that walks beside us in those, that's with us always, that we can communicate with and be with for comfort. And we thank you for that this morning and going through this week. And we ask your protection and your comfort in Jesus' name. Amen.